Hi, this is Meredith Eisenberg.
And this is Jasper Blake.
And welcome to Module 2 of Rapid Results Marketing. This is all about defining your foundation.
Okay, so Danny Mayer said, it's the job of any business owner to be clear about the company's non-negotiable core values. They're the riverbanks that help guide us as we refine and improve on performance and excellence.
You know, I really like that image of the riverbanks. Because it's so true that when you have riverbanks, then your river has motion and it moves. If you don't have the riverbanks, your river is kind of a puddle. It's not really going to go anywhere.
Yeah.
So now we are, you know, getting ready to do our DISC. And the first step of that is defining and really figuring out those essentials that will guide all of your marketing decisions and developing a clear foundation that will keep you from distractions and on track, or at least will try to keep you from distractions and on track. Nobody's perfect in that regard.
Yeah, well, and there's plenty of distractions. So.
And of course, the essentials are going to change over time as your business grows. So when things are different and you need to make a pivot, you should return to this step. And I know that, you know, we've been in business together, I guess, 5 years or so, yep. Maybe six. And we've pivoted our business at least twice that I can think of because our desires have changed. The market has changed. Different things have come into play that have, you know, signaled to us that our direction is no longer the perfect direction to go in. And so we, came back, redefined what we were doing and redefined our goals and set a better foundation so that we were going in the right direction. So the first thing to look at is your core values. And your core values are principles or beliefs that are at the center of your organization, and they guide your decision making. So no matter what changes in the world, you know, no matter who's president, no matter what the government regulations are, no matter what your customers are liking this week, or anything else that, you know, everything changes all the time. I think that's the one constant is that there's change. Your core values remain the same and provide consistency. Because consistency makes it so people can trust you. And so although you may redefine your core values, it's something that you really need to think about. And so core values serve several purposes. They clarify who you are. They communicate with people outside your organization, you know, exactly what you do and how you do it. And they guide you through important business decision making. They're essential tenets that keep you true to yourself and your business. Because honestly, if you are, and I've worked for some people where I was 85% on board with their core values, but not 100% on board with their core values. And that ends up being a slippery thing because you don't feel like you're being true to yourself and your work. And so then your business becomes just another job. And so you want to make sure that you are 100% on board with your core values. And so here are some different core values that you might have. So dependable, innovation, going above and beyond, being irreverent. See, Jasper and I had that one.
Yeah. And sense of humor. That's always important.
Exactly. Results oriented. Anti-corporate. Original. There we go. Outrageous. I think we would like to be outrageous, but I don't actually think we are. That's okay. Commitment to success.
Customer focus, that's certainly true.
Being traditional. Being hospitable.
Yep. I'm not sure whether we're worldwide yet.
But well, I mean, you're from Britain, right? So maybe, you know.
The Western world.
Yes, we are. And, you know, most of our customers are outside of New Mexico, which is where we live.
So that's true.
We do have a little bit of a cosmopolitan flair to our business. And if you are outside of the United States and you're sitting there saying, but me, and just email me. That would make me really happy to know that we have an international following. All right. So how to define your core values? So it's all about discovering the values that are already there leading your decisions and looking for the values that lie behind your organization and what it does. So some questions you can ask yourself What have been our greatest achievements? What are you the most proud of? What are the common rules my organization follows? What makes you the most satisfied? I know for me, I love it when the little light bulb goes off on top of my client's head.
Yeah.
And they really get something and they start getting results from, you know, some work that they've either I've taught them or they've basically discovered for themselves. It's just a really cool thing. How do you want people to feel about your organization? Do you want people to smile when they see your logo? Do you want people to feel serious, you know, like that they are an elite because they are part of your community? You know, what's the tone that you want people to have to feel? And what's most, you know, at the end of the day, what is most important to you? And I know for us, the most important thing is you. And that you get the results and that you can create a business that you love. And that you can sort of get away from the corporate grind, the 9 to 5, and live life on your own terms.
And what are you most proud of as well?
Exactly. And so these answers can be full sentences or they can be stories. But what you want to do is pare them down to a simplest, to the very simplest word or phrase.
So, for example, something like our greatest achievement is that we've never lost a client. Or the one quality behind this sentence could be reliability or ongoing value, just by way of example.
Right. Or if you're really proud of the results that your clients get, your word could be results. All right. So refining your core values. So a time may come where you realize that your core values have changed. And it's worth, you know, reviewing them occasionally to see if they need an update. There might be new developments in your business, like you might have picked up new skills. There might be new developments in your life. You may have had a child. Your child may have left home. You might have moved across the country. There are all kinds of things that can happen in life. And so, or you might have changed your mind about what you want to do and who you want to serve. So in order to keep being true to yourself, it's worth, you know, once a quarter, maybe even once every couple times a year, going back to your core values and making sure that they really resonate with you still. So if you have a team, the process is really, it's fun to do this as a group and to get the team members together and ask for their feedback and see if the original values are still relevant. If you don't have a team, just ask people that you work with, ask people that you, you know, are in your groups on social media, ask people, you know, they're your coach. There are a number of different people that could give you feedback to see if when you tell people your values, if that is actually reflected in your business.
Yeah, even a personal friend, as long as they know you well enough, will probably help with that.
I mean, there's a saying that a lot of times the wine can't see the label on the bottle. So doing this and having other people's reflection and insight in it is really important because a lot of times somebody else can see things that you can't. All right. Another way to define your essentials is to actually look at what you sell. So you can look at the range of products you offer and see which products are the most profitable and most enjoyable for you and where you should focus your future efforts. So for example, but don't, like when you're looking at profitability, it's more than just which product is making us the most money. You might want to look at how much it costs to make, how much time it costs to do, how much resources, how much of your energy does it cost to do that product for someone. You know, an example is for a while I was an Infusionsoft consultant. I made very good money as an Infusionsoft consultant, but the problem was I didn't completely enjoy the work. So there was a huge mental cost to doing the work that figured into my rubric to move my business in a different direction because it just was tiring me out. So that's another way of coming at these core values and figuring out what's important. So then you want to also identify your very best customers and focus your business on them. And I know Jasper and I have had some really lovely customers, and we've had some customers that aren't so lovely. And so you want to like make sure that you identify your best customers to get more of those and less of the ones that aren't really a good fit.
Yeah, I mean, there's the 80-20 adage, isn't it? That 20% of your clients give you 80% of your value. So yeah, and that value is not just determined by the profit you make of them. You know, you've got to enjoy what you do.
And also, yeah, I mean, it's not the one that gives you the most money. It's the one that gives you the most joy. Although money helps too.
It does.
Joy itself doesn't pay the bills. So there you go. Other things that could be considered when creating your customer dream team are repeat customers who keep buying things from you over and over and over again. If someone has bought every single one of your products, you might want to keep them around because they'll likely buy from you again.
Yeah. Obviously, we've already talked about customers who are easy to work with and fun to work with. That's very important.
Or customers that you really feel like you're doing good by helping them.
Customers that are valuable to other members of your team. So, you know, if you're offering something that one of your team members is the primary person who deals with them and they really enjoy it, then that can be valuable as well because your team enjoys being part of your organization.
Also customers who promise future value or benefits to you. And so a lot of times it's worth, and you just have to trust your gut instinct on this, like finding a rocket ship about to launch. And so sometimes you can help customers at the beginning of their arc and you can grow with them. I've had a couple clients that have come to me at the very beginning of their business and we've grown the business together and their business has grown to multiple six figures. And so as part of that, they know other business owners who are making multiple six figures and then they can refer people back to me. So that is, you know, something to think about, that if someone shows really good growth potential, they might be a good customer to have.
Yep.
And finally, you know, those people who know everybody are always helpful because they can refer you. And so think of it, I know a lot of times it's difficult, especially when you are in the beginning stages or you're on the low ebb of your cash flow roller coaster, to really be picky about customers. But a lot of times you need to remember that when you talk to someone, you are interviewing them and they are interviewing you. It's a two-way street and you don't really want to have people as customers that don't really fit your profile because then your work for them won't be as good. And so think about, you know, who is it that you want to work with that will make your hard work worthwhile? And who do you want to spend your day talking to? So then once you've sort of figured out, okay, these are my best customers, then you keep them in mind as we create your unique value proposition. And we have a whole other training on this coming out soon, but this is a brief summary for you to get you started. And so you want to ask yourself, why do my customers buy from me and not my competitor? Because this is a great way to figure out what you're really, truly good at. So the specific reason that customers choose you instead of a competitor is summarized in your unique value proposition. So, you know, again, we're talking about this a little bit now and we have a whole other class, but usually once you've figured that out, that provides a seed for your business and marketing decisions because it's like, does this fit into our unique value proposition?
And it also informs a lot of the content that you write for your website and your emails and a lot of other things. So, yeah.
Yeah, so this is a good thing to spend a little bit of time working on. And so it's not a tagline. It's really more of an idea. You know, what is it that makes us unique? What makes us unique, I think, besides Jasper's awesome accent and all of that, is that we're very good at explaining things.
Well, and the other thing that really makes us quite unique is the fact that we don't only coach people on how to do things. We'll actually get in there and do things for you if you need.
Yes, because we can.
Yeah.
And so, yes, we actually, you know, will do more than just talk to you. We'll roll up our sleeves and we'll partner with you in your business. And if you need us to do automation for you or whatever, we can definitely do that. In the sort of a summary of the UVP is, number one, it explains how your products or services solve problems. It tells customers what specific benefits they can expect from your products or services, and it describes what sets you apart from your competitors. So as you can see, that's a super powerful marketing 1-2-3 punch, because if you can do this really well, and I don't think most businesses actually do, you will be ahead of the game in getting the clients that you want and being able to explain to people really quickly what it is you do and who you do it for.
And don't forget that, you know, in a lot of cases, that what sets you apart from your competitors is actually you. You are the difference you make in your business, because especially for when you're doing things like coaching, a lot of times people will choose you because they resonate with you personally. So don't underestimate that element in terms of that.
Right. And so once you sort of have all of this in long form, you want to make this super short and super concise. And so basically a template you could use is a description of your product that does this for him who needs that. So I know that was horrible, so I will just give you an example. A sales and marketing platform that's easy to organize for small businesses that don't have time to waste. So if you can say your UVP that quickly and that smoothly, that's going to be really useful. And you can use it all over the place. So you can also use this in your LinkedIn headline, and you can use it on your Facebook group, and you can use it in your about page. And when you have to give one of those horrible 30-second speeches at a networking group,
yeah,
you're already set. You're halfway there. And so you want to be really specific, and you want to, of course, write in a tone that your customers use and understand. And whatever sort of language or tone that you use in the UVP, that's the seed from which all of this grows. And so you want to make sure that it uses the tone that you're going to use in the rest of your marketing.
Yeah, and the words that your customers use. So it's fine to use sort of jargon words if that's what your customers know things by. But otherwise, you know, If you're using words that are not generally used by your customer, then they won't self-identify with your message.
And test it, like, for sure. Test it with people in your audience and in your community, because a lot of times you think people know things that they don't know, and then you're shocked that they don't know them. But if they knew them, then they wouldn't be coming to you.
Absolutely.
I know that sounds really complicated, but I've spent a lot of time before going online working in the offline world as a public information officer. And I worked in the recycling division. And none of the people in the recycling division could explain recycling in a way that people who weren't all knee-deep in recycling would understand. You know, why is it that I need to sort my recyclables? And they would go into this huge chemical explanation about how all of this stuff interacted and in a way. And really all you needed to say was, you know, we get more money if we can give them a pure stream of plastic versus a pure stream of aluminum. People understand that. But you think that people know everything, and your audience is smart, but I would assume that they don't know anything. And go from there. And if you're going to do a UVP with even a little bit of jargon in it, please test it with your community first.
Yep, absolutely. So what's the homework for this session then?
Okay. So last time I had you make a list of the projects you were working on and where you were getting overwhelmed. This time, and this is probably no surprise to anybody, I want you to list your core values for your business. And I want you to keep it on a separate sheet of paper. You could decorate it if you're into decorating. I know some people like the magic markers and the stickers. Go for it if that's what you do. Post it on your wall as a constant reminder of your bedrock. You know, this is what's important to me. And then I want you to fill in the first section of the rapid results marketing cheat sheet. And so I want you to list your current products and services, the ones that are most profitable to you, your very best customers, and why your customers buy from you. And so then in the next module, we will be talking about setting your one and only marketing goal, well, at least temporary one and only marketing goal, and how to really determine what that one thing is that you want to focus your efforts on for the next 90 days.